Yes.
Okay. Since there are objections, Aki, could you call the roll? And so a vote yes is for Lawrence's amendment, which changes April to July. And a vote no is to leave it as it is.
Okay. Aki. Teresa, Sarah? Teresa?
No. Sorry.
No, okay. All right. No, okay. Jim Dingman?
No.
Okay, Jim is no. Vanessa?
Abstain. Abstain.
Abstain. Okay, abstain. Okay. I don't think Sue is on. Heather Gray?
No.
Heather is no. Okay. Donna Grimes? Donna? Okay, get back to you.
No, I'm in favor.
Okay, you're yes, okay. Donna is yes, all right. Iberio is not on yet. Ariraksa?
No.
Ari is no, okay. Marion is not on. James McCracken?
Pass.
Pass, okay. Darlene Pagano?
Abstain.
Darlene abstains, okay. Ron Sayers? Rons?
Yes, secretary, yes. Yes.
Rons is yes, okay. Sean Rose?
Abstain.
Sean abstains, okay. Jim Sagerton? Jim?
I said no.
Jim is no, okay. Sharam Salam?
Yes.
Okay, Sharam is yes. Aki votes no. Mark?
Abstain.
Mark is abstain. Okay. Beth? Van Guten?
Yes.
Beth is yes. Okay. Igberto Willis?
No.
Igberto is no. Okay. Susan Young?
No.
Susan is no. Let me get back to one pass. James McFadden?
Abstain.
Okay, James says, okay, so Judy Hewitt?
Al abstain.
Okay, Judy abstains, okay. Okay, so we have 4 yes, 8 no, and 6 abstention. So the motion fails.
Okay.
So go to the, we discussed the main motion then.
Yep. Yep. Okay. So we are, the stack is Darlene, Mark, Jim Sagerton, Sharon, and then Heather. Darlene.
I don't know, what everybody's position is in their station about, producing and getting shows on the air, but I am the staff representative of KPFA to the PNB. The staff has been alerted, motivated, and have open discussions on all the ways that we can increase revenue, membership and revenue, because of starting to understand the financial crisis of the PNB. This is not a very helpful motion. I do appreciate what Susan said about giving support against any factionalism. In KPFA, unless I'm a total Pollyanna, our general manager, as well as the program director, have always stood firm against factionalism, such to the point that when a show has been canceled because of ideological reasons or bad behavior, whatever you want to call it, the pushback from factions has been very small and just does not rise to the level of the business of the membership of KPFA, who are very good listeners. The 1 year.
Darlene, your time is up.
Oh, okay.
Next up is Mark Van Landite.
So just a few quick questions for Susan and Jim. This calls for all programs to be temporary and they must reapply for assessments from the general managers and program directors. And the 25% threshold is for the entire station. It's not for individual programs. Is that correct? Okay.
Yes.
And also expand on the all mandates for must carry programming without exception are considered suspended during the period of reorganization. Could you go ahead and expand on that just a little bit? And I might have a follow-up question.
We have all sorts of programming that is considered, must carry programming, and that applies throughout all those different stations. And, some of them have extraordinary low listenership. So, they have to reapply also. We're in a situation where we really have to turn this around as fast as I can. Others may come up with other solutions to this. I respect them, but I'm trying to, along with Susan, we're trying to just grapple with this problem of, you know, the obvious in that our content is not resonating with the metro markets we're in. And that includes all of them, by the way. I don't think a market share of 0.3 or 0.4% in the Bay Area is great. I don't think 0.1% is great either. It stinks. We got to change it. That's all.
Just a quick follow-up. Has there been any similar programs where programs are made temporary and have to reapply for broadcast? Has that been tried out in either Houston or New York?
WPFW. Yeah.
It has been tried out historically over the past 40 years and meets incredible resistance. And in certain cases resulted in the unionization of non-paid staff as a result of that. But we're in a wholly unique situation now with the failure of several stations simultaneously. So that we just have to take different steps now.
A point of information, please.
Yeah, go ahead, Vanessa.
Jim, did you send this? I just want to read it. Did you send it to everybody?
Yeah, it's in the agenda.
Oh, it's in it. Okay, thank you.
You bet. Next up is Jim Sagerton, then Sharon.
Thank you. So, in reality, we could be doing this now anyway. So this is just really, it's codifying, so to speak, a process by which all programs have been reviewed throughout the year.
I can't understand what you're saying.
Oh, crap.
Don't go to speakerphone.
I'm on speakerphone, so let me try and...
Well, on speakerphone.
Speaker. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I'll make this quick. This is a new thing to have the programs have to renew each year. And that gives the general managers and the program directors a chance to do an actual anyway, it could be doing anyway, prods them to actually do it. That's good. The other thing about this is it's asking the program directors.
Can't hear you, Jim.
So it's the thing that's the other thing that's new about this. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Can't hear you.
Can hear me? No, you can't. Which is it?
Every time you say, can you hear me? We hear you. And then we can't hear you after that.
Yeah, yeah. As soon as we say yes, then it changes. So I think we changed ourselves.
I'll give it up.
Your beard
is getting in the way.
Yeah, yeah. So next on the stack is Sharon. Sharon, go ahead.
Well, I think this is an interesting concept, but I think it puts a lot of pressure on the people who are doing the programming to do all the work in terms of changing the station with no support of management to assist them in doing their jobs. If I'm saying it correctly, it's like you're just saying to somebody, you go and you do this, but you don't have any kind of training on it. You don't have any compensation on it. You just
getting in
throw
the
him into the pot and say, sink or swim. And I don't really feel that that is fair to those people who are there working hard every day to try to put every effort into saving this station, because this sounds like you are trying to say that those people who are doing these jobs are not trying to do what it is they need to do to get the station alive. Maybe there needs to be some kind of communication or a sit down so that people can talk and about what works, what's not working. You know what I'm saying? I hope I'm saying it correctly so that people can understand what I'm saying.
All right. Can I respond, Julie?
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, first of all, thank you, Sharon. First of all, we're about 20 years past a lot of these things. And other motions are coming up to deal with the training issue, which I agree with. We have to have training. We have to learn from what our brother stations or sister stations do, such as at KPFA. But, you know, there have been shows on the air for 10 to 20 years. I can cite them in New York with great accuracy that still only have a couple hundred people listening to them after 20 years of being on the air. Now, I'm not saying that they should be, you know, relegated to the dustbin of history. But on the other hand, they have to have time now to improve. And all the stations, for example, of KPFT's brought up, a couple of years ago, KPFT had a cum of 15,000 a week. That was when I was on the PNB programming committee. Now, that's unacceptable, frankly. That's really ridiculously low. So to ask to have audience increased is really, you know, we want everybody to work together to accomplish this. This requires a synergy and holistic approach of everybody to change it around. So, yes, there'll be other motions coming in that deal with those kind of inputs. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, so I said Sharon was the last person on the stack, and I see Heather and Darlene have their hands up now. So to hear from more people, we would need a motion to extend.
Chair, I move to extend to exhaust the stack.
Second.
Okay, thank you. And just to let you all know, Vanessa's also on the stack now, too, because she got her hand up.
Thank you.
Okay. Any objections to the motion to extend to exhaust the stack of three so Vanessa would be the last to speak? Hearing none, Vanessa will be the last to speak. So it's Heather, Darlene, Vanessa. Go ahead, Heather.
Yes, thanks. I know I've said this a lot to the board, but I think one of the challenges that we face as far as the work that we're doing in community radio is that we need to explore ways to promote not just on the radio, but in other entities as well. And I think that all programs should start doing that. I'm talking about writing articles. I know I'm always talking about this, and we need to do more of this, and I need to do more of it as well. But writing articles, doing interviews with folks, getting them in magazines, promoting the work that has been done with Pacifica forever, but we need to promote it in other platforms as well. And I think that the various programs in our stations need to be doing that also, if they're not already. This is not one of the things that, Jim, you didn't make reference to that, did you, as far as promotion is concerned?
That's in other motions that are going to come forth in the next few meetings.
Okay, well, that's great. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that to everyone, and I'm always interested in hearing people's ideas along this line as well. So thanks, Julie.
You bet. Darlene.
Again, most people on the PNB historically had nothing to do with getting programming on the air. Your listener representatives. I really feel the problem of saying to the people who are working their butts off that, oh, and we say by this date, you must raise listenership by 25%. And actually, I'm not even sure the motion says listenership by 25%, but I'll go past that. the PNB would do well to listen to the people who are doing this work and let them talk to us instead of always, oh, but we are directors and we will tell you what you must do. As if the people who are professionally general managers and program directors don't know their job. I just think this is a bad, an unfortunate way to promote the urgency that we all know about. That is very unfair to have a number by a date be a criteria, especially a criteria on judgment, on the work of both the GMs, the PDs, and the program staff. We're only going one direction. We need to have the patience to have it come back.
All right, Darlene, Julie, can I respond quickly to that? First of all, Darlene, I've been an on-air host. I've been a program counsel, public affairs rep twice in two years.
I know.
So I have a lot. So I'm not going to listen to.
All right. That's enough. Well, I see this devolving. Don't worry about it, Jim. Point taken. I just want to say one thing about what Darlene just said, some confusion over the wording. So let me read from the motion. With the goal of increasing audience and achieving at least a 25% increase in gross revenues. So that's the way it reads. So it's both, but the 25% is applied to revenue, not audience. Okay. Vanessa, go ahead.
Okay. So I appreciate the goal. I do. I am a little concerned about the method. I'm looking all over the place. I still don't see a written version of the motion. So I was just trying to follow along with the conversation. I'm not clear as to how this would be different than things are done now, but Darlene's comment sort of clarified. It's by a date, by a percentage, if this or that or the other, you're temporary. I think it's heavy-handed. I think at PFW, if you have a good PD, and I think we have like an amazing PD, that this happens naturally. Programs go off for different reasons. Sometimes the programmer leaves or, you know, whatever the reasons, new programs come on. We have some amazing programs, and so I do get the intent, and I know it's a hard thing to do. You guys are trying to figure out a way to put a structure around how to solve a serious problem, but it really just feels kind of heavy-handed to me. That's my concern.
All right. Thanks, Vanessa. By the way, I did just try to send it to you in email just in case that helps.
Thank you.
You bet. So that's exhausting the stack, before if anybody else wants to talk, we need a motion to extend again. Teresa.
I move that we extend 5 minutes.
Second.
Thank you. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for 5 minutes? Hearing none, 5 more minutes. Okay. Go ahead, Teresa.
Darlene, do you have any, I think we're in a serious problem because I think Jim Dingman's right. There are so many programs who are just lackluster. And, we have volunteer programmers who have given up programming and we have staff that's discouraged. So Darlene, do you have any suggestion as to how to achieve the goals of reviving, concern on the part of programmers for raising money, increasing listenership, you know, reviving the spark in their programming. Do you have any suggestion for us as to how we can do that is there any way you suggest that we change this motion to?
I don't know for the motion, Teresa. Thank you for the question. Contacting the general managers directly and saying, we have your back. Cut the problem shows you will get all the support we can muster. That is an excellent idea, I do believe, for helping clean up the grids. Well, not the grids, for helping clean up the really poor performing programs. Not make a motion of what we, the directors of the PNB, say you out there should do. You, the mere staff. So, yes, I'm a little charged on the subject, but talk to the directors themselves. Have a plan for backing them up. Excuse me, not directors, I meant program, general managers and the program directors. We have a plan for backing them up and just let them know we need them to do the hard, calls. And we need it now.
If I can, and I'm speaking basically to what Darlene said.
Go ahead, because you're next on the stack anyway.
You may be working really well at KPFA, and we need to learn from you. But the PNB and the LSBs destroy decision-making by the GMs and the PDs. Destroy it. I'm trying to discipline the PNB and shut up the LSBs so that the PDs and GMs can do their damn jobs. That's what this is about. Now, every station has different situations, which is why I had trouble with the 25%. I got the idea from something that Julie said about the way you have a modus operandi at WPFW, annual review of the grid. Which is great. It's what Sandy did coming in. He said, and he had it with a group. Jim wants to have a conversation with the PDs and GMs. I strongly encourage that. And what I would say is, this is a motion that we're trying to give you cover. We're trying to get the PNB and the LSBs out of your business. And I would love to ask them, what are the things that work? What are the things that are not working? What is the situation at your station? How can we help? What is the help you need? That's what I'd like to see happen. And I'm hoping that this motion is a step in that direction.
Thank you. Jim Dingman, then Donna. Jim?
Yeah, look, we're having to discuss this in the context of thinking about selling a building. We're discussing this in the context of other unnecessary options that may or may not be executed, swapping signals, selling signals. And frankly, I differ from others. I don't think it's heavy-handed. What's heavy-handed is to have to even be in this situation to start with, to have to be in this situation, to have to be talking about this. And frankly, you know, I have a different perspective about GMs and PDs than others. Some of them have had a long time to do things and write them. And for a variety of reasons, they haven't been able to succeed. We on the board have the fiduciary responsibility to make sure this situation doesn't devolve into total chaos. And yes, it's now time to step into the situation of programming and start to figure it out as a problem, to turn it around. I don't want to be sitting there talking about bankruptcy in 10 months when we had the opportunity to try to turn it around now. So I have to disagree with others on this. I think we have to pass this. We have to see what's happened. We're not going to be rigid about it. We just want to see things improve. That's it, period. Thanks.
Thanks. Donna?
Sorry, I had to get unmuted. Yeah, I don't see this as heavy handed in the sense that I think, I see it as a possible, more of a collaboration really with the, in our case, at least with the LSB working with the PD and the GM, and the programmers together to do this. I think it sets a goal. I think that there's flexibility. I think there are other things that could be done too to support especially that the LSBs could do in our case to support the efforts of the programmers and to increase listenership. That's been one of our goals anyway. And I think we want to be more concerted about that. I don't see any problem. I think setting goals is helpful to people. And it's not that we directors are directing and telling others who are professionals what to do. I do think that we have, I'm not speaking for the PNB, but I'm speaking for the LSB. There are probably some very creative things that could be done. I think it's time for us to kind of pull together and to see the seriousness of the situation and to see it as a team response. And that's my feeling. Thank you.
Thanks, Donna. How are we doing on time, Darlene? You're muted.
We did it by stack, not by time. We're still, we are way over time as originally on the agenda.
Okay.
But we are, you know, open as to time here.
Okay.
My motion was for only 5 minutes.
Okay. The point is we don't have a stack anymore. So now what I'm going to do is, because I feel that we have talked about this a fair bit. Are there any objections to the motion as amended? Because it does say now must reapply annually. Are there any objections to the motion as amended?
To yes.
The motion?
Yes.
Yeah, I object.
Okay. Since there are objections, Aki, could we take a roll call vote here? And this is okay. The main motion as amended. Like, this is the whole enchilada now.
Okay. So, Teresa?
Alan says yes.
Teresa says yes. Okay. Jim Tingman?
Yes.
Jim says yes. Okay. Vanessa?
No.
Vanessa is no. Okay. Susan, Heather Gray?
Yes.
Heather is yes. Donna? Donna Grimes?
I'll pass.
Okay. Donna passes. Iberia is not on. Ariraksa?
Yes.
Ariraksa is yes. Okay. Marianne is not on. James McFadden?
I'm gonna pass.
Pass. Okay. James pass. Darlene Pagano?
Abstain.
Okay, Darlene abstains. Ron Sayers? Ron's? Okay, I'll get back to you. Sean Rose?
Yes.
Sean is yes, okay. Jim Sagatin?
Yes.
Jim Sagatin is yes. Sharon Salon?
If I say no, I'm voting against it.
Right.
No.
Okay. Sharon is no. Okay. I'm going to pass. Mark?
No.
Mark is no. Okay. Beth Van Gutten?
Abstain.
Beth abstains. Okay. Iberto Willis?
Yes.
Yeah, it is yes. Okay. Susan Young?
Yes.
Susan is yes. Okay. I'm going to get back to Donna Grimes. Donna? Okay, let me get back to Donna. James McFadden, you passed?
I'll say yes.
Okay, James says yes. Don says? Ron's? Okay, let me get back to...
Are we taking the vote? Are we taking the vote, Aki?
Yes, on the main motion, yeah, Ron's, yeah.
On the main motion, I'll vote no.
Okay, Ron's votes no, okay. Donna Grimes? Donna?
Oops, sorry. Abstain. Abstain.
Okay, you abstain, okay. All right, and I abstain also. Judy Hewitt?
I'll abstain.
Okay, you abstain, okay. Okay, so it's 9 yes, 4 no, and 5 abstentions.
So the motion passes.
Right.
Okay, folks, we are, it is 10:13. We have an important item on the, closed agenda that I want to make sure that we, you know, aren't getting too late. The next item on the agenda is motion on underwriting. And I need to say a couple of things here before we decide, you know, are we going to go forward with this motion or not? One thing is I want to acknowledge that Stephanie spoke earlier about the fact that she went to an underwriting webinar earlier this week. I need to share some information from that with everyone on the board. And so I'm wondering whether people would be interested in postponing action on this motion until they've had a chance to see what Stephanie's able to share with us all. So that's one point. And then the second point is I want to explain, you know, if we don't postpone, I want to explain what's going on because there's two motions on the agenda and there's another one, in email. And I think there's confusion about where we are on the motion on underwriting. So if we were going to take it up this evening, I would want to explain that, but, and technically, I guess what I'm saying is, how do people feel about Beth, go ahead.
Thank you. I like the idea of postponing until we have the opportunity to take in the new information from NEDA provided by Stephanie. I'm very glad to have that more current information, specifically from legal sources, and I think we ought to take advantage of the opportunity to let it inform what we do before we blunder forward. So I would move to postpone.
I second Jeff Lawrence.
I object.
Thank you, Lawrence. So there is a motion to postpone on the floor now. Yes, go ahead, Mr. Dingman.
Yeah, first of all, this has been, I sort of find the comment blundered into a little inappropriate because this particular motion has been researched by former members of the Strategic Planning Committee for several years now. And so it's not as if it's coming in here as an uninformed motion. Secondly, we all are aware of the financial crisis existing at each station. In New York, we are moving ahead with the other motion that gives us authorization to get $10,000 a month to start with in underwriting. So I think postponing this once again to get, quote, better information, end quote, given the fact that it sort of ignores the fact that our predecessors spent a lot of time researching this, Alex, Lyndon, Chris, and other members of that committee, I object to this not being moved on tonight and acted on. Thank you. It's been postponed now several times, and enough is enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there others who want to speak to not the motion itself, but the motion to postpone? Heather, go ahead.
Oh, I think we should be voting.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lawrence. Heather, hold on. Sure, Lawrence, go ahead.
Chair, I think it doesn't hurt to postpone it 1 week to be informed as to the most recent information on underwriting that our ED attended, the webinar about, because I, that would inform my vote much better than going by, you know, by historical memory, because there are a lot of new nuances that are happening in the nonprofit sector. So I would definitely support postponing, so I could definitely be informed, and it will better inform my vote. Thank you, Chair.
Go ahead, Heather.
Is Beth before me, Julie?
Go ahead. She already spoke, and I think can't put her hand down.
Okay, thank you. No, I must say that I was thrilled when the underwriting possibilities were presented to the board, because I've said this ad infinitum. I think that, you know, we are community radio, and small businesses in our communities are a part of the community as well. And as you all might know, most of my work has been in cooperative economic development, which was an incredible education for me, working with farmers but with other cooperative entities across the country, because they are small businesses as well. And we need to be working together actually with other entities in our communities. And this is what underwriting does. It's saying, okay, we're a radio station. We're having all these incredible programs presented in our communities and across the country actually. But this also needs to include other entities within our community, and underwriting does this. It adds that important entity to what it is we do. I'm trying to come up with other words and how better to express this, but thank you, Julie. I wanted to share that. I hope we'll pass this motion.
Thanks. Ollie Lex is next.
You know, this motion's been postponed and postponed, and here we are for the last months or years screaming about too much on-air fundraising methods that aren't working. The network is going bankrupt. This is a way to get money to help support stations. WBAI is getting $10,000 a month? Is that what you said, Jim Dingman?
Yeah, around 10,000, it looks like.
It was Stephanie who said it, and it's
okay.
Upwards of 10,000.
Things like that are fantastic, you know, and sponsorships as well. At KPFK, we used to get similar amounts just by, promoting concerts at the music center and things like that. This is something that we really need to move on quickly, because we need money. I mean, when we're talking about, as he said, selling buildings or swapping signals, this is a way to bring money in without on-air fundraising. And the sooner we move on it, the better it is for everyone involved.
Thanks. Jim Dingman, then Susan, then Vanessa. Go ahead, Jim.
Get on what Ali just said. And also, we have to look at it as a way to embed. Kind of, I mean, I'm just sitting there getting excited over the kind of prestige kind of places we could actually get funding from to do underwriting that would actually increase the visibility of the stations. Just think about driving around and hearing all of a sudden the Metropolitan Museum of Art, blah, 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 has an exhibit on the Tudor Renaissance and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we're here being heard on WBAI radio. I mean, my God. I mean, and that could be repeated at every single station. So I'm just excited that this could really help us out.
No, the important thing that you need to air on WBAI is that the new museum has an exhibit on the Eastern Gates, and he's got some young lords buttons as part of it. I'm sorry. That was just a personal.
I object to the chair jumping the stack.
Sorry. Susan and Vanessa, go ahead, Susan.
Yeah. Okay. Strategic planning has worked on this for however many months. The development task force has worked on this for months. We have very good models already from the affiliates and from NPR. This is lots and lots of experience on this, and the attention was given by people like Jim McFadden and Alex and Beth and so forth too. How do we make this ethical so it fits within the mission and culture of Pacifica? remember, this is a pilot and it's intended to be a test case. So if there are things that Stephanie knows that we can use to modify this, great. Nothing prevents us from doing that. But we have been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. The Strategic Planning Committee recommended this before the beginning of this year. And here we are in November. So let's move on it.
Vanessa, then Beth, then Jim Dingman. Go ahead, Vanessa.
So yeah, I agree with everyone who wants to move forward. It's being researched to death. I know that some people just don't agree with underwriting. It's just, you know, it's not part of their frame of reference. But we got to do something. And it's a viable thing to do. Like, Susan just said, or Teresa, it's a pilot program. We certainly can move forward on that basis. We're in a desperation mode. We're talking about, as everybody else has said, selling buildings, swapping signals. Why can't we look at something that's a lower level, and do that? We just don't need to talk about it anymore. It just keeps getting delayed, and it just seems that maybe some people are trying to like delay it to death. I think we just need to do it.
Thanks, Beth.
Thank you. Yes. I don't oppose underwriting. I worked on underwriting all through last year with the development task force, right up to the point where people on the strategic planning committee took it out of my hands. And so I don't oppose underwriting. I just want to be sure we're doing it right. And if we have new input, current input, especially from Netta, who evidently is still looking out for us, I want to be sure it informs what we're doing. Thank you.
Jim Dingman.
Yeah, look, this is ropey-doping it to death. Ropey-dope. I hope you guys know what I mean by that. Us New Yorkers know what we mean by that. And
well, I don't.
Excuse me. Really? Okay, well then, you know, okay, ropey-dope. Basically, delay, delay, delay. Now, the issue of getting money from commercial sources or non-commercial sources. Lou Hill, when he sets up Pacifica in 1946, he has in his budget that 30% of the money will come in from commercial advertising. And he wants to wean himself away from that as fast as possible. Well, he didn't succeed, but that's right in the inception of the organization that they saw the need to do something even more beyond the pale than we do, are arguing right now. So I just think we should pass this and let it rip.
I will make a quick note, Aki, that Marianne Martinez appears to have joined us now.
So noted.
Okay, great. So we're on the motion to postpone discussion of underwriting. Are there any objections to the motion to postpone?
Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Mr. Tatum.
Yeah, would you clarify for me whether the motion is to postpone to next week or the next meeting, or until we have had a chance to review the webinar? Those are the three things that have come up. Next week's is Thanksgiving. So I believe that might be out. So the choices are next meeting or until we view the budget.
That's a good point. Thank you very much, Mr. Tatum, for raising that. I believe Lauren said let's postpone for 1 week. We do not have a meeting schedule. I mean, I know you all said and we voted on a motion to meet weekly, but I took it upon myself as chair not to schedule a meeting for Thanksgiving. I figured I would probably not get a quorum anyway, so I just didn't even bother. And so if we postpone till the next meeting, that would be basically the December 1st meeting, which is in 2 weeks, which is also in and of itself a scary thought that December is in 2 weeks. But okay. So I believe, Lawrence, that motion can't be to postpone for 1 week. It can be to postpone till the next meeting. And in principle, because the next meeting is in 2 weeks, that should give it, you know, if that motion to postpone passes, that would definitely give everybody, I think, plenty of time, for Stephanie to have shared the material and for people to have had a chance to digest it. So I think the motion.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
2 weeks.
So it's best motion.
Okay.
May I clarify? May
go
I
ahead,
clarify
Beth.
that the motion is postponed until the next meeting and no longer than that. That should give us plenty of time to review what Stephanie provides. Thank you.
Yes. That is correct. Are there any objections to the motion to postpone to the next meeting, which
I
is
object.
2 weeks' time? Okay.
I object.
Fair enough. Okay. Aki, can we go to a roll call vote, please?
Okay, so we're voting on whether to postpone or not. So yes means to postpone, and no means to not to postpone, right?
Correct.
Okay. So, Teresa, do you want to postpone?
Teresa says no. No postpone.
Okay. Teresa says no. Jim Dingman?
No.
Jim is no. Okay. Vanessa Dixon? Vanessa? What's your vote on postpone?
No.
No? Okay. Okay. Heather Gray?
No.
Heather is no. Okay. Donna Grimes?
Yes.
Donna is yes. Okay. Adiraxa?
No.
Adiraxa is no. Okay. Maria Martinez, you came on?
No. No.
Maria is okay. Maria is no. James McFadden? James?
No.
James is no. Okay. Darlene Pagano?
No.
Darling is no. Ron Sayers? Ron's?
Yes, Aki, yes.
Okay, Ron says yes. Sean Rhodes?
Abstain.
What's that, Sean? Abstain?
Abstain.
Okay, Sean is abstain. Jim Sagerton?
No.
Jim is no, okay. Sharon Salon?
Is yes voting for the postponement, or is it no?
Yes is the postponement.
Yes.
Okay, Sean is yes. We're going to pass. Mark Van Duit? Mark? Okay, let me get back to you. Beth? Beth Van Guten?
Yes.
Yes, to postpone. Okay. Igbioto Woodies?
No.
Okay, Igbioto is no. Susan Young?
No.
Susan is no. Okay, let me get back to the pass here. Let's see. I'm going to go for no. And Mark? Then do it. Mark? Okay, I don't get a mark. Okay, so Judy Hewitt? Judy?
I'll abstain.
You abstain, okay. Okay, so 4 yes to postpone, 12 not to postpone, and 2 abstentions, so no postponement.
All right. That means we're going to tackle this tonight. So,
Chair, I have a question on timing.
Yes, go ahead.
I did put the timer on when we started, although I recognize that we only were speaking about motions. So are we recalibrating to 20 minutes on this item?
I think we probably have to.
Thank you.
I am sad to report.
Thank you.
Okay, so
Madam Chair, may I be recognized?
I wanted to make a quick let people know what's going on, and I also have to ask Mr. Tatum a question. So there's actually three motions on underwriting, folks. There's the original motion, what came out of the strategic planning committee is like 4 or 5 pages long. I pulled the first paragraph out of it and made that be the motion. And so I put that on the agenda because, frankly, I wasn't going to read the entire 4 to 5 pages. Lawrence submitted a motion, which I believe he called a substitute motion, an email, and that's also on the agenda. So my shortened one paragraph version of the motion is on the agenda. Lawrence's substitute motion is on the agenda. And then there's a third version of the motion, which is actually the full version of the motion from the strategic planning committee, which apparently isn't the full 4 to 5 pages, but is 2+ pages long, of which that first paragraph is the paragraph that I put on the agenda. And so, Mr. Tatum, what do I do here with all three of these motions?
Madam,
do you have any advice for me?
Madam Chair, I think that the motion coming from a committee takes priority. As you know, before a motion to substitute, you have to have something on the floor to substitute it with, and it should also come before any one member motion. So I think the motion coming from the committee takes priority. And of course, we all know it doesn't require a second.
Got it. Okay. All right.
Madam Chair, I would like to speak to that issue.
Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, I think Mr. Tatum has previously advised us that what the chair puts forward as the motion is the motion. And I know I have seen Julie's motion on the agenda and thought that it was the better way to proceed. So if there is the opportunity, I would like to move that be the motion, as Julie has included it on the agenda, which is, you know, now owned by the body.
Yeah. The second thought is that, you know, the chair has the prerogative to restate a motion to correct it, make it clearer. And that's, what I, you know, meant when I said the chair may state a motion, and the motion that the chair states is the one that goes in the record. So the motion has to be on the floor first before she can state it in a correct form. See, nothing's on the floor. You gotta have something on the floor for her to restate. You also have to have something on the floor if you want a substitute. Something has to be there. So these things that you guys are doing in email, they don't count until you get to the meeting. That's when they really count.
Got it. Thank you, Mr. Tatum. All right, so
move to extend to exhaust the staff.
I don't think we're out of time yet.
Okay.
Thank you. The next thing I'm going to say is I think Mr. Tatum's right that we have to take what the strategic planning committee, I mean, even though it's wouldn't be my own personal preference, I think we have to take what the strategic planning committee put forward. So read it, Jim Dingaman.
All right. I will only read the first part of it up to the appendix.
No.
Okay?
No, that up to the appendix. That's the 2+ pages. That's what I was talking about.
I'm looking at what you actually got several weeks ago, which I am looking at, which was anyways, so I'm going to read it. Okay. Be it resolved that a pilot program be established for a restricted form of underwriting to proceed at all Pacifica stations wishing to opt into the program for a 12-month trial. Stations participating are required to adhere to the national policies and procedures for this program. The general manager of each Pacifica station will notify the Pacifica National Board whether that station will or will not opt into the pilot program. A review of progress in implementing the program and its effectiveness shall be undertaken by the PNB together with Pacifica management after 6 months and after 12 months. This resolution will expire unless renewed by the PNB after the trial period has ended. At the end of the 12-month review, the PNB shall decide to either terminate the pilot program, modify it, or develop a different approach to underwriting. And then I'm going to just the other stuff. Pacifica stations are an integral part of the communities they serve and will strengthen those bonds by partnering with other community-based organizations and businesses. Our partners in underwriting will be nonprofit organizations whose missions are aligned with ours, local businesses, public interest, and cultural institutions. For those stations opting into the program, all programs, day parts, or portions of our website may be considered for underwriting. Pacifica considers its values, programming, history, traditions, audiences, and reputation priceless. Our listeners and supporters expect us and organizations with whom we associate to uphold the highest levels of ethics in internal and external policies and practices. Stations in the program will accept underwriting based on the needs of the station, availability of airtime, website availability, and compatibility with our programming and mission. The general manager or someone delegated by the general manager will approve and review all underwriting contracts. The GM will provide reports to the LSB as part of his or her overall responsibility to provide reports on the financial status of the station. In addition, the GM of each station participating in the pilot program will provide quarterly reports to the Pacifica National Board. As a matter of policy, the station will not accept financial support from any entity whose business practices conflict with our mission statement and programming. For example, no agreement shall be entered with any entity that has a record of being anti-labor, anti-environment, support for fossil fuels, supports Wall Street, supports nuclear technology, supports big tech's invasion of our privacy, promotes racism or sexism, militarism, nationalism, and xenophobia, or supports the abridgment of the rights of women to control their own bodies or the rights of the LGBTQ community for full equality or the rights of immigrants. It is responsible to each station participating in the pilot program to present a detailed plan for implementation and oversight of the underwriting program at their stations. The plan must include realistic estimates of administrative costs for marketing, increasing responsibilities for engineers, etc., as well as a realistic estimate of expected revenue. The detailed plans must be submitted to the NFC as part of their budget review within 30 days of the time they announce their intention to opt into the pilot programming. To ensure editorial objectivity, the stations in the program shall exercise considerable care to maintain a barrier between all programming and fundraising efforts. While this distinction holds for both music and news public affairs productions, it is especially critical for the latter. Consequently, we expect funders of news and public affairs programs to refrain from any attempts to influence editorial content. All editorial decisions are based on the judgment of local management of what is good journalism and not based on suggestions and agendas that further the interests of the funders, however legitimate those interests may be. The stations in the program shall discourage direct contact between funders and programming staff and volunteers. Contacts by funders must be made to the personnel delegated by local management to handle those affairs. Each grant is subject to an evaluation period at the end of which either party may decide to terminate the grant agreement. A template for an underwriting contract is hereby provided. All underwriting agreements must use this template. Each underwriting contract shall be negotiated individually by the management of the local station. A schedule of fees shall be written to the contract. Premium rates will apply during drive time. Sponsors may select either a 15-second or a 30-second spot. No underwriting statement will be more than 30 seconds. All underwriting spots must be in compliance with the FCC
CPB and IRS regulations for the programming requirements of the station. See Appendix B for FCC and IRS compliance guidelines. Station management is responsible for maintaining records of all underwriting spots. An underwriter may not dictate the content of programs. An underwriter may support an individual program or a category of programs, for instance, music and the arts. Every underwriting agreement must be submitted to the EDD of Pacifica for review. That's the first paragraph.
I second the motion.
But you don't have to second something that comes out of committee.
Oh, it came out of committee. Never mind.
So now amendments and substitutes are in order at this point.
Right. Okay, so I'm taking a stack here on this motion. I see James McFadden and Susan. Go ahead, James. And I'm working on emailing this to everybody because I know you didn't like take in every word that Jim Dingaman just said. So hang on. Go ahead, James McFadden.
I just want to say I'm happy that the Strategic Planning Commission put in all those extra words about what kind of underwriting is not allowed. And I'm glad we're going with this, with that wording and not some shortened version that doesn't have all those caveats. And that's the main thing I just wanted to say. I have my concerns. I have strong concerns about any kind of underwriting, but I'm really glad that at least this thing went forward with a lot of the caveats that could prevent abuse.
Susan, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to support what James McFadden said. I never thought of this as being written very effectively as a motion. It's really written as kind of a policy statement, but a lot of thought went into it. Alex gave it a lot of thought. As Jim McFadden says, there was wordsmithing. There were all of these caveats put in. There was a great deal of conversation about what constitutes ethical underwriting. And so I support adopting this entire statement as the motion.
Chair, may I be put on the stack, Lawrence? I'm driving, so I can't raise my hand.
Yeah, gotcha. I see you, Lawrence. Lawrence, it's your turn.
Thank you, Chair. I want to associate myself with James McFadden and Susan in regards to the specific language that was put in there in regards to what we're about, what we're not about, and what we will not support, and what we will not air. So saying that, I'm also going to support the motion. Thank you.
I don't see anybody else's hand. Does nobody else have anything to say about the motion?
Parliamentarian.
Go ahead, Mr. Tatum.
I do think that at some point, this, which I think is a resolution, needs to be rewritten because I see whereas clauses mixed in with resolving clauses. And if they could be separated, that would be good. The resolving clauses have the word shall in at the beginning of each of the sentences. And in some cases, I saw the word must. And so maybe the word must could be changed to shall to be consistent with the resolving clauses, but yeah, there needs to be some separation between the whereas clauses and the resolving clauses.
Madam Chair, to address that?
Sorry, go ahead, Susan.
Yeah. If it is not a terrible thing to do, I suggest that we move forward on this. I think the sense of it is pretty clear, and that we adopt an amended motion in the future to clean up this language so it's more clear. But I'm hoping we can authorize and start now on the pilot program.
Go ahead, Heather.
No, I just want to, I was so impressed. Jim, thanks for reading all of that. I'm so impressed with the work that the committee has gone into as far as this is concerned. Mm-hmm. I'm just repeating myself. It's very impressive. Thank you. And going into all that remarkable detail, so important. Thanks.
Anybody else? Are we ready to vote? Or, I mean, act on the motion. So are there any objections to the motions, to the motion as drafted?
Does that mean no corrections are going to be made in the language?
Well, okay. So one thing we can do is, taking Mr. Tatum's point that, you know, it is a little bit, interspersing of whereas clauses and resolving clauses. What we can do is we could pass the motion this evening, right? Because if people think the gist of the motion is what we want to do, we could pass the motion this evening. And then what we could do is someone could volunteer to take it upon themselves to keep the language basically the same, but, you know, put the whereases together at the top and put all the resolving clauses at the bottom. And then, at a future meeting, we can, pass a motion to amend a previously adopted motion. And that motion to amend would basically say, move some of these things up to the top, move some of these things down to the bottom, you know, and change, maybe changing some of the shalls to musts, or I'm sorry, musts to shalls. And, without changing the essence of the motion, but nonetheless, we've got it passed this evening and people can, you know, the stations can get cracking on this without further delay. So are there any objections to the motion?
Kev, this is McFadden. I'd like to be recorded as abstain.
Okay.
This is Beth. I would too. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other abstentions? Are there any objections beyond those two abstentions? Hearing none, the motion passes. As noted, we'll try and clean the language up. So someone should email me, that they're volunteering to do the cleanup of the language. Okay. So that, takes us to item 8 on the agenda, which was new business, of which I didn't think we had any. And so item number 9 is motion to move into executive session at a time certain of 10 p.m. Eastern time. It's 10:50, but you know, we've done worse before. Can I get a second? I'll move that we move into closed session. Can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any objections to the motion to move into closed session? Hearing none, we are moving into closed session.